What's up, guys? Roxy Stryer here from DC Movie News. And if you are a DC fan just like I am, you're gonna want to check out the latest live action series, Titans. It is available now on DC Universe, and new episodes stream every Friday. Or if you're like me and you stay up late on Thursday nights, you could actually watch it before you go to bed, which is, of course, ideal because everyone's talking about this show, so you want to get on it so you don't have anybody spoil anything for you. Titans was the first original series to launch on DC Universe, and everybody knows first is usually best, so this show is frickin' awesome. Titans follows a young group of superheroes, Robin, who we know as Dick Grayson, Starfire, who might even be my favorite on the show, she is so fierce, Raven, Beast Boy, who transforms so awesomely, and others. It is a gritty take on the Teen Titans franchise. Join the Ultimate DC membership, and for more info, go to DCUniverse.com. That is DCUniverse.com. Ewan McGregor as our Black Mask in Birds of Prey. Kathy Yan says Birds of Prey is officially going to be rated R, and Jason Momoa has already started working on pitching Aquaman 2. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
Wow, shaky shaky hands in there. Is it because you're gripping so hard, or what's happening? All right, guys. Welcome back to DC Movie News. No, I'm not Johnny LaQuasto, although sometimes I do wish that I was. I am not Adam Gertler. I am not Mike Kalinowski, because I am Roxy Stryer, and I am with some very talented people at this table. You know her. You love her. She's your favorite cosplayer of all time. Elena Bring the Peanut Jordan!
That's me, and still my favorite nickname, appointed
Nobody
from Roxy.
Else. Why doesn't it catch on?
I don't know. Well, you're the only one who calls me that, and I love it.
But they don't get it. It's
they
the
don't
best.
Get it.
Why?
And then everybody else is like, why? It's Alana. And I'm like, no, that's why she said.
I don't know whether to, do I correct people anymore?
I don't, and it's awkward because there are people that I've known for years that still say it, and I'm like, you know, close enough.
I know, some of your friends that are like, yeah. Oh my God, is Alana coming? I'm like, you her actual friend.
Well,
Elena,
you know,
bring
like,
the Pena. It
Rihanna
rhymes.
Is Rihanna.
Ooh.
Ooh, just blew everybody's mind with that one, huh?
Chrissy Teigen is Chrissy Teigen.
We've all said it wrong. I'm like,
all
right, whatever.
This whole time. Flying in, one of our favorite podcasters. Are you looking to see if he's flying in this minute? It's Paul Ponte. Yay!
Thank you.
It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Paul.
Here for the Luscious Locks edition of DC Movie News.
Hey, you are like our very own Momoa in the house right
now. I know.
Now.
I love it.
All the iTunes people don't even appreciate how luscious the locks are.
Yeah, it's fun coming in on my invisible jet, enjoying the day, coming to Burbank. It's fun.
Did you just call yourself Wonder Woman?
I like it.
No, but I borrowed her jet.
Wow. Yeah. You guys on like a first name basis? You texted her?
You know, I sent her like, what? Oh, shoot. Now I'm
but how'd you find it?
How'd I find it?
But just officially
point.
Over and over again.
Oh.
It's because she keeps a sheet over it that says Paul.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
There you go.
That would be pretty amazing. Paul, you haven't been on the show in quite a bit now.
Yeah, it's been a while.
What have you been up to? How are you doing?
You know, pretty good. I went on the Warner Brothers studio tour, which was awesome. If you get a chance, DC fans, I don't know how long they're going to keep that Justice League stuff up, but all the costumes are there. It's really dope. Everyone should check it out if you're a DC fan.
Very, very cool. Yeah. You know what else you guys should absolutely check out? For all of us DC fans out there, check out the latest live action series, Titans. I know that I have been and that you guys at the table have been as well. It's available now on DC Universe, and new episodes stream every Friday. Or if you're like me and you stay up really late on Thursday nights, you know it drops at midnight for us. Titans was the first original series to launch on DC Universe, and Titans follows a young group of superheroes. If you're watching this show, you probably already know that we've got Robin in the house, we've got Starfire, we've got Raven, we've got Beast Boy, and tons of others, including this week when we actually had Doom Patrol, which was out of this frickin' world, and I cannot wait to talk about during TV time. It's a gritty take on Teen Titans franchise. franchise. So if you're one of those people who loves Teen Titans, but you've grown up a little bit and you want something slightly more mature, as all the mature people say, then this is definitely for you. So join the Ultimate DC membership. And for more information on this, in case I haven't sold you enough at this point, go to DCUniverse.com. It is all there. Elena, are you loving this so far?
This is so good. And yeah. I think that that's a really good thing to highlight, too, is that it's not Teen Titans. It's Titans for a reason. It's they're grown up. It's a little bit more in the realm, a little bit past what we've seen.
Tons before. Of F-bombs, dude.
Yeah, man.
They are dropping them left and right, you know? We've got.
But if you're a superhero, I feel like you kind of have more reason than anyone else to have some expletives dropped in.
I'm so positive that if you spent the day with Batman, it would be like, F this, F
yeah.
F Batman, by the way.
Yeah. F Batman.
How does Superman not look at Doomsday and go, what the F is
this? Yeah, what the F? Yeah. So again, for more information, go to DCUniverse.com and make sure you check out Titans. We have a lot going on in the worlds of DC at this point, which, speaking of things that didn't catch on, the worlds of DC.
Yeah, that was like, just for a second, they were like, psych. Why it was like when Pluto was a planet and they took it away. Mm-hmm. I was like, come on, man. Like, but you just took away a whole world. You took away the world of DC.
It's kind of like that, but almost the opposite, because everybody still thinks Pluto is a planet. And
that's true. And Worlds of DC was like, nah.
Anytime I try to correct somebody anywhere I am and they call it the DCEU and I'm like, it's actually Worlds of DC, they're like, says who? And I'm like, says a Comic-Con display. Says me.
They mentioned it once and never promoted it that way again.
So I don't really know.
It's because it was basically branding. Hey, look at our big relaunch. And then it was like, oh, wait, hold on. We're still working on it. Well, it's still good. It's going to be good. But don't look too close yet.
But I liked it too. I like it better than DCEU, which we just made up.
I like it too because it makes it sound like it's, because the extended universe makes it sound like it's all intertwined. And I like having these standalones.
Yeah, I agree.
And when it says Worlds of DC, then, you know, it brings in, you know, the Flash and Arrow and Titans and everything else. It's all part of the worlds.
So one of these worlds that we are venturing into that seems like it is legitimately happening is the Birds of Prey film. This is something that I was doubtful for a long time, just because we've had a lot of projects dangled in front of us and then taken away like the shiny objects that they are. But this one, we just keep getting casting news after casting news that's gotten me so excited. I think, Elena, it was like 4 weeks ago we talked about on the show that Ewan McGregor was in talks to play Black Mask, and then it kind of was this slow rollout to him officially being Black Mask in the Birds of Prey film, so he will be the villain in this. I'm getting half smiles across the table and some suspicious looks.
Well, speaking of F-bombs, it will be rated R also. That's the other thing.
That's the next piece of news, dude. Don't jump ahead.
My bad. I'm just saying, I just can't wait to see Ewan McGregor start cursing up a storm on TV. I love Ewan McGregor, and I honestly think they could have casted him as a lot of different things. Someone mentioned to me on Twitter, like, hey, they would have actually liked to see him as, like, a Green Arrow. And to me, like, honestly, you could name a good amount of DC people, and I would be like, Ewan McGregor would be good for that. But Black Mask, it depends on what they're going to do origin-wise. If they go New 52 split personality, I would be very happy, because Ewan McGregor has the chops to pull that off. Uh-huh. So, because
he can be charming. I mean, look at even this picture of him as it's showing his duality. If he can be this charming kind of, you know, Moulin Rouge, dream guy, and then
I think
I'm so excited. I mean, I think
love him.
We win with you win.
It was one of your good ones. I'll give it to you.
This news is good. I'm excited about that.
I have tons of follow-up questions and comments of my own. One of my first questions is a little off topic, but do you guys know anybody named Ewan?
No.
I've never met anybody named Ewan. And it's just, the only reason I know its name is because of him.
I had a little sheep that was named Ewan when I was little, because it was like a U pun. Like, my pun love started early.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, but that's the only Ewan I've ever known.
I've never met a Ewan. I don't know what I would say. It feels like shaking somebody's hand who's like, I'm Ewan. That's like, yes, you are. Yes.
A couple weeks ago, I went to Ireland and Scotland. Didn't meet one Ewan.
No Ewans.
Huh.
And I was there.
Any Ewans in the house, by the way? If your name is Ewan and you are listening live, you better be commenting in the YouTube chat for Popcorn Talk right now, because I will find you and I will love you forever. Second of all, if you're watching later on or listening and your name is Ewan, you have to comment in wherever you are on iTunes, let us know. Or I guess if you ever have met somebody, because I feel like Ewan McGregor kind of made it up.
He was I don't know. I know the name exists. I've read it like in literature, but I've never met an
Never met one. They don't really exist.
I have a friend named Wynn, so I guess if I'm like, you, Wynn. That's almost.
How disappointing as handsome as Ewan McGregor is if he was like, oh, but my real name's Bill.
Yeah, that's like, true. Aw.
Bill McGregor, I'm still on board. I'm like, whatever, you're awesome, Bill.
Not to insult any Bills out there. I'm just
saying. Bill's a great name.
Bill's a dope name.
He's a very strong man name. Second question to you guys would be, if they officially have Ewan McGregor as Black Mask, do you think we will see him as Black Mask as much because his face is a moneymaker and Black Mask has a black mask for a face? So what do you guys think about that?
I just hope – if they're going to do it, I know they like to do on and off, on and off, on and off, you know, throughout these
the
movies.
The Will Smith situation.
As long as they don't do the, well, he doesn't have it for the entire movie, then at the end of the movie – suddenly, a black mask, and they're like, and next time, maybe.
Kind of what I'm thinking is going to happen with Joker, actually, at the end of the Joker
That I
movie.
Think, but I don't know, that one I'm okay with, because it's an origin.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Whereas, because that would make it, I feel like this would make it more about him and his transition, and less about the women who are fighting him. And if the entire premise is that this is a girl gang, and this is what Margot Robbie really wanted, was to have Harley highlighted by all of the female powers that she has around her, which... from what I've heard, is going to be the direction that they go, which I really hope is the case.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like they'll have Ewan McGregor just to be like, hey, don't forget, we paid the money for Ewan McGregor, here he is. But I don't think it's going to be an end reveal thing. I think it'll be kind of an on-off. I would love it if they would just cover his face completely and go full Mad Max. And they're like, yeah, you're gorgeous. We know you're gorgeous. Don't need to see it. It's about the women. Personally, I feel
because
like...
Because it is, like, part of him more. It's not, like, a removable...
it's not a, like, take-it-off thing. So that's why I'm like, just watch Mad Max. Like, you can have somebody gorgeous and cover their face and have that man throughout it.
Boochtron says it's not always like that. There are some black masks where it's just a mask. So I guess it depends on what iteration they're going with. And a lot of people are talking about how Ewan isn't as big of a name to get people to theaters. Like Margot's going to be the one that drives this. So maybe they don't need his face on all of the promotion. A lot of people also talking about how Roxy's a fake name. So I feel you, Ewan. Maybe I'm the first Roxy you guys have met.
Speaking of the Margot Robbie thing, Suicide Squad was what, 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
No, not three.
Not three. It was
2 years ago?
Two.
Yeah.
Was it two?
Maybe a year and a half.
Yeah, it was two because they had Justice all the promo at Comic-Con, which was 2 years ago.
Okay.
They had the Harleys,
I don't know if anyone's been around on Halloween, but there are still Harley Quinns.
But there I don't know still. If anybody's been around for the past 10 years before the movie came out. There were still Harley Quinns.
I know, like, but like, I mean, the movie version is what I'm saying. True. There's a lot of people still, but even people I know who aren't super into comic book stuff, I saw them posting they were Harley Quinn for Halloween, and it was the one from Suicide Squad, and I was like, "That there's something about that character that even if they're not
Suicide
super
Suicide Squad was August 5th, 2016.
There you go. 2 years.
That's more.
More than two years ago.
2.5 years. What have I done with my life? What's happened?
Some kind of a Suicide Squad?
Well, I'm definitely part of a bunch of squads, including the DC Movie News Squad. Yeah, yeah. So I haven't seen a single negative thing about this casting on the internet, which is pretty rare. I think that Ewan McGregor does not overbook himself in things, so it's not like we've seen so much of him recently that we're sick and tired of it. And so I'd love to see what he does with this character.
Yeah.
No matter mask or not.
You winner.
But hopefully mask. Not because he's not handsome. Just because it makes sense.
So you win. You win on this news.
Yeah.
So I'm all in. I'm all in on you.
All in,
baby.
All in.
We
all win with you in.
It's too easy though, Elena. We have to challenge you more because the pun game.
It's not good.
You're not even at your best right now because it's just anybody could do it. Let's talk a little more Birds of Prey because as it was already spoiled for us. Yes, it is going to be rated R. Kathy Yan confirmed this, but she also talked a little bit about how she got the job, and I absolutely adored this, mostly because it's just kind of like, well, how does anybody out there argue with that? And I'm going to read you guys her quote from this, because it's pretty perfect. So she said, "I did my homework. I wouldn't say it was easy, but it was relatively painless and straightforward. I immediately loved the script, and it felt like something I could really do, and it felt very much like my own voice. I could not put it down, the script down. It had so much dark humor to it, which is a lot of my work does. And there are themes of female empowerment, which are so strong and relatable. So I went in with, not with confidence, but at least a sense that I belonged in the room. That somehow magically turned, magically in terms of timing and luck, that this opportunity was open to me, and I was definitely going to make the best of it.
This is what's incredible to me, though. She had never done a pitch before. She had never created, like, a sizzle for this to bring. She went to the executives at Warner Brothers, just asked her friends to kind of help her out, and the people around her to help her out, saying, how do I do this pitch? And just knocked it out of the park for your very first pitch to be like, let me do this, and they go, yes.
But she said, you know, what I hate hearing from people over and over again, and I feel like this happens so much in Hollywood, is like, it was just luck. I happened to get it. You never know. I just showed up. She's like, well, I did all of the work, and I studied, and I researched, and I, you know, did the homework, and then they picked me.
You'd say it was pitch perfect.
Yeah. Oh my God, wow. I love you right now.
Competition game strong.
Not even competition. It's all love.
Paul throwing his iron into fire.
Yeah. Everyone's a winner. Yes. It's a UN situation.
So it's hard because go ahead.
I was going to say, just, I think what's so cool about this too is that she had a very clear vision. And I think that that's why they picked her, and that's why I'm most excited about this movie, is from the pitch meeting. She walked in and she was like, here's a sizzle that I made that just over, that basically conveys the tones that I want and tonally what I want you to feel. And anytime that I've worked on any sort of, you know, movie indie or anything, that I've actually gotten to talk to a director that was like, look, I have a clear vision for this. Listen to the soundtrack. This will give you an idea of the tone, or just anything that they're like, here's the inspiration that I have behind it that I'm using to fuel this vision. It always turns out better. And the fact that she's had that from the time she picked up the script makes me think that the final product that we are going to see is going to be absolutely incredible. And I
agree.
Wait.
It's hard to be fully, I'll be honest, because you guys know I love to play devil's advocate, I guess. It's hard to be fully on board with somebody who I don't know's work that well. So I will say that. It's not like she was selected to be director and I was like, yeah, but like, wait, my
pigs,
whole life
that's
for
my
this.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's my, I have a Dead Pigs poster.
Exactly, exactly. So as opposed to Patty Jenkins, where Monster was my favorite female performance. Sorry, I don't even like putting that word. It's my favorite performance of all time. So knowing that Patty was able to pull that out of somebody, when she came on to Wonder Woman, I was like, hip, hip, hooray, because that, to me, meant that's what we were going to get, a very, very strong performance, somebody who's able to pull that out. So with Kathy, I am by no means saying she can't do this. It sounds like she definitely can, and that she did her homework and she's proven herself. But personally, I'm sitting here like, I'm anxiously waiting with bated breath. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you rock it, girlfriend, because I don't know your work.
Yeah, I really like the authenticity, though, in that article where she basically even says, like, I didn't even know if I really wanted to do this. Because, mm-hmm. you know, so many times you hear people being like, oh, I was so excited immediately. How could I not do this opportunity? Whereas she was like, you know, I didn't really know if a superhero movie was for me. And then I read the script and it won me over. And that, to me, makes me a little bit more excited about the writing. And I kind of like the refreshing honesty of being like, I didn't really know if I wanted to do this.
Yeah, agreed. A lot going on in the chat right now. Mike Riley says, I like a fresh-faced director being given the reins as long as they're given creative freedom from meddling studio execs that don't know jack about creativity. So I think we're all kind of agreeing with that. Yeah. Also, a lot of talk in here about the R rating. Let's kind of break down that portion of it that Kathy confirmed. So to me, this has got to be the .. most duh situation. Not that they got it, but like that's what it should be. Mm-hmm. This screams R rating to me. How do you guys feel?
If they had made it PG-13, I think that would have come at the cost of some really good content. I know some people say you don't need an R rating to have a really solid film. And
which
in some
true.
Cases, yes, that is true. But I feel like in this case, the rating reflects the content that needs to be included to tell the story the way that you want it to be told. And so, I mean, the whole rating system is brought in just so that you're aware of what's going to be seen. And it's in turn kind of become more of a sensor than anything else, while the people are looking at numbers are saying, well, the bigger audience that you can have means the more money we can bring in. So even if that comes at a creative cost, that's fine. The fact that the studio is able to say, no, we still want people to have the costumes for it, the merch and everything, and sell the toys, but the actual film itself, we want to be good enough to really reflect what DC is about. We want to give our director that creative freedom. She needs an R rating. Make it R.
Yeah, I think it shows a lot of confidence, too, in Warner Brothers' approach to this, because the main criticisms we always heard about the people who are super, don't like DC is it's too rough and gritty, trying to be, and, that they're trying to copy other studios. So you could say, like, oh, our movie, they're just going to gritty it up, blah, 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 they're trying to rip off this, trying to rip off that. But when she says that it fits in with her dark humor, that's what gets me excited for the R rating. Because it'd be very easy for them to pick a random other character and make a Deadpool film. Mm-hmm. Where they were like, yeah, it's rated R because we're just going to be wacky, wacky time. But instead, to bring it into a movie like this, which is not going to be anything close to what Deadpool is, but also still be a funnier, even if it's darker humor, comedy that's also rated R, like, I think that shows a lot of...
Let me ask you guys, because I don't think it's official yet. I'm under the assumption that the Joker movie is going to be R-rated. Are you guys 100%. Under that assumption as well?
I think so.
It has to be.
So do you think that this is going to be a new wave for DC where we have Joker, Birds of Prey, then, if Birds of Prey does well, R-rated Gotham City Sirens, if that's the vein they're going, an R-rated Suicide Squad 2. Again, speculation. I'm not saying those have been announced. I'm just wondering if that's kind of where they go.
I think no, just because they already have established their franchise and they've already established the age that they're gunning for. But I think overall... I think it's a good move to move to the R rating, and I think that we've seen it across the board. Even I'm most excited about kind of the R-rated Titans. That is phenomenal. And if you guys are a DC fan, you definitely want to check it out, too, because the latest live action series, Titans, is now available on the DC Universe.
Yeah.
So good. It premiered on October 12th. The new series is available to stream every Friday. The original series launch on DC Universe is... this is the first one to launch on it, so I can't wait to
Everybody
see
wants to be
more.
Part of the first stuff.
I know, and it's so good. if this is the tone that we're going for, I am so on board, because I love this show. It follows the group of soon-to-be superheroes. Of course, the full cast is there. Dick Grayson, Rachel Roth, Corey, of course, Starfire, Beast Boy, all the whole crew. Whole crew is
there. We're bringing the whole gang.
Everybody's there. The group gets caught up in a conspiracy to bring hell on Earth. So it's really a hell on Earth scenario. People who say that, it's like, this is a literal, they become the surrogate family. This team of heroes brings in all of these different tones and all of the things that they love to convey in DC.
A Motley Crue.
Yeah, it's great. It's like this gritty take on the Teen Titans franchise that's completely unique. It's from all of the best executive producers, of course, Akiva Goldsman, Jeff Johns, Greg Berlanti, Greg Walter, John Fawcett, everybody. Titans.
They grew up.
Titans, they grew
it's
up.
It's been in our head the whole time. Teen Titans and now.
Teen Titans and now. It's like, no, Titans. It explores one of the most popular comic book teams ever. And it's only available on the DC Universe. Extra incentive to get the DC Universe. So many reasons anyway, but this show really puts it over the edge. It's available on all of your devices. It's only $7.99 a month or 20% year off. Like, you can get 20% off if you get it yearly. Yeah, get the yearly subscription. You get 20% off of it.
So let's be honest. We all know we're going to do it for a year.
We're going to watch it for a year.
Anyway, so
just
might
do
as
it.
Well.
Just save the money right now. And it's so cheap, even if you go monthly. It's like just...
Yep.
Pay it, worth it, love it. Join the Ultimate DC Membership at dcuniverse.com. Check out Titans.
Tons of people in the chat have already done so, people who are planning on doing it. So I love hearing about that. You guys let us know what you think of Titans. I can't wait to hear your thoughts. We're talking about it more in TV time. Let's move forward to talk a little Aquaman right now, though, because just a couple little bits here. Amber Heard talked about why she joined Aquaman. And again, just in the most simple, simple thing, like, it doesn't take much to sell Aquaman. Let's be honest. It's not like Amber Heard was starring in 15 franchises and she probably heard Aquaman and it sold her. But in case
she
it didn't
Amber
sell her.
Amber Heard Aquaman.
But in case that didn't sell her enough, this is what she said. They had me at Sword and a Crown. Zack Snyder and I spoke on the phone, and I didn't really think a comic book film would be something that would be appropriate for me. I didn't really, knowing nothing about the comic book world, knowing nothing about the universe, I didn't really have any reason to feel like that would resonate with my sensibilities or my core principles. But Sword and Crown.
Again.
I love when people are like, hey, this is not my world. I'm not a fan, but Swords and Crowns, though.
And because she goes on to be like the kind of female empowerment aspect of it. When she was talking about, like, she's like, I was told about this battle scene and Aquaman shows up and then I'm there and people are like, who are you, Aquawoman? And she's like, nah. I'm Mera. I got my own name. I'm my own person. Bow down, fishes.
I don't like the sound of Aquawoman is just
Aquawoman is weird.
She sounds like a wet woman. She's
Aquawoman. It sounds like a knockoff, like Aquadigio. It sounds like a really cheap perfume.
Sounds like a lotion.
I'm not really down with it. Aquawoman. I'm not very down.
Good for your scales.
And we'll talk more about Aquaman and what the projections are. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the fact that Momoa's not fazed by anything right now because he has a plan for an Aquaman 2, which I just love, like, full speed ahead. He's just like, no, this is my deal.
I just love how cocky he is, that he's just like, oh, yeah, as soon as we were doing Aquaman 1, like, I was just like, Aquaman 2, I got it in my head, I've already got the scenes, I'm picturing it.
Yes, this is what he said. Even when we were shooting Aquaman, I have the opening of Aquaman 2 ready. I went in and pitched it to the producer, Peter Safran, and I pitched it to Toby Emmerich. He says, they loved it. It's awesome. But yeah, I have plans for Aquaman too.
Why do I picture him as that one viral video of the surfer guy when he's pitching it? He's just like,
what viral video?
He's going to jump in and boom, so pitted. It's going to be so dope, bro.
I don't think I've seen this.
You haven't seen
Me
pitted,
neither.
Bro?
No. Oh, I'm just pitching.
That's an old school viral
Picturing Toby Emmerich sitting there and Momoa being like, yo, the opening scene. And Toby's like, let's get through Aquaman 1. And
Momoa's like, but in the second one. That's what I love is the idea of Jason Momoa pitching this. Like, not James Wan. Like, it's like Momoa's like, no, I got this.
I imagine him doing it while he's throwing axes at the wall.
Dude, which I'm also going to say, I feel like we need to have a group outing for DC Movie News. There is a new axe-throwing place here in L.A.
And what is it?
My friend works there now. He is a professional axe coach, which is the dopest title I've ever heard. You toss axes, like hatchet style, like Jason Momoa.
Damn, I need that in my life. I definitely do. So what I hinted at before, though, was that it's not looking like the predictions, and I want to preface this as much as I can, it's not looking like the predictions, possibly, maybe, not certainly, that it's not tracking very well right now. And again, we've seen it happen 5,000 times where this is not the case, but people are not thinking that Aquaman is going to make as much money as initially we thought. It's predicted to earn right now between 40 and 60 million domestically, and that would not be a flop by any means, but it would not hit the success which they were hoping. I believe Justice League made just a shy of 100 mil, like at 96 or something, and people were thinking originally that Aquaman might hit that 100, but
I still
it's not looking
that
way.
I'm Venom also projected 60,000, made over 500.
Good.
I mean, so 60 million made over. Yeah.
Wonder Woman projected 65, made 103.
Yeah.
So there's tons of ways that we could look at this, but what
I'm saying to say 60 and then have 500, and it's like, y'all were very wrong.
Right? I agree. I completely agree. But again, you guys know you love it because I'm devil's advocate. I think Aquaman is going to do better than they're suggesting. But I don't think they're doing themselves many favors by the fact that they're going up against some heavy hitters in that time period. Bumblebee also coming out the same day. Holmes and Watson doesn't look interesting to me. It didn't look funny at all. To me, based on it, but that's coming out. Welcome to Marwen, that's coming out the same day. Mary Poppins is coming out 2 days before. So there's a lot of things that you can go with your family to see. Vice you know is coming out 2 days later.
A week
or three
earlier
days later.
The Spider-Man Into the Verse.
Into the Spider-Verse is a week earlier. And I know tons of people who are now saying, based off the Bumblebee trailer alone, on December 21st, I will be seeing Bumblebee instead of Aquaman. I'm not one of them. I want to see Bumblebee. I think you can see both. But I'm hearing it over and over again that people are choosing Bumblebee over Aquaman.
Well, the seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake.
You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake.
Just watch Jason Momoa. Bumblebee will still be there. Sorry.
No, it was really good.
We should all go see the movie. You watch the show so you care.
Bum, bum, DC movie news.
Yeah. DC support all our movies.
And I just watched everybody leave the chat room. Let's talk a little. This will get him back. Don't worry. We'll get him back with Wonder Woman because... Finally, a movie that we have that nobody has any qualms with. Wonder Woman 84. Well, I'm sure 15 people just yelled at me like, we don't like this movie. Well, suck it.
You're basic.
You're basic. Robin Wright confirmed that she's returning to Wonder Woman 84.
That's Robin Wright.
We knew this. Yeah. She basically dropped it so casually knowing that we knew. But I'm excited to see her because she's
Robin
just great.
Wrong.
And she's a great general and just like, you do you. I'm going to move past it. I'm going to move past the Robin wrong, because it's fine.
If she wasn't in it, she'd be Robin the audience. I mean...
Oh. You don't understand how many comments in the chat today have just been about your guys' pun war and dynamic duo-ness. It's pretty unbelievable. No, you're not. Let's stay on the Wonder Woman train, because it's a train I love to be on. We had new... I don't even know if we can call them set photos, because... She is getting her hair touched up, but she's just so beautiful and so Wonder Woman-y that it's worth showing. Gal Gadot on the set of
Wonder
Woman.
Oh, she's
let
herself go. Look at her. I mean.
Shut up.
I was like, is that making a pun?
Out of here.
Oh.
But I like this one, watching her with Patty Jenkins, just because it got me excited. I love seeing them together.
I love them so much. And yeah. I love Patty Jenkins just being so just all about this movie and all the people who... sent in tweets about like how they were dressing up as Wonder Woman and she was retweeting them and she was like, yeah,
they retweet so much great stuff.
I love it.
But this was not my favorite Gal Gadot picture of the week. My favorite one was one that she happened to Instagram where she is donning the Batman cowl, which is pretty freaking great. It took me a minute when she posted this to realize what was happening here. Because, like, her lips are just so lusciously pushing through. It's very large on her.
Yeah.
Like, it's really great. Check out her Instagram. Is it just Gal_Gadot? Or is it Gal Gadot? Gal_Gadot if you want to see this in case you're listening on iTunes or check out our
YouTube.
Because,
again, both of them so into their social media. Very posting awesome stuff for fans all the time. So
I saw people like really reading into this. This was just fun, right?
Oh, yeah. She's just having fun. It's Halloween too. It's like, y'all come down. She's like,
don't expect her to don the cowl in a movie though. Yeah, we know. Does that need to be said?
She wrote it as the caption, "I'm Batman," and then people were like, "But is she Batman?
Is she going to be Batman?"
It's like,
no. She's just showing the fact that she can be adorable wearing the Batman mask. How many people can pull that off?
So strange. Let's move on to Ray Fisher, friend of the show. We love him. And this was interesting because he's been pretty quiet recently. We haven't heard much from our man, Ray. But he talked about wanting Snyder to possibly direct the Cyborg movie that we all are hoping for and guessing is never going to happen. Mm-hmm. Ray seems to be very realistic about it. He says, originally, Zach explained the overall plan for me at the time and yada yada about Cyborg. But he does say, I think Cyborg has the potential for a superhero film unlike any we've seen before. If Zach were to ever come back to direct another DC film, he'd be my top pick to direct, which I thought was very sweet.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like it's also, if they had gone with the initial Snyder vision, which I know is so much speculation at this point, that it's like, I almost already
open
that.
Show me the Snyder cut. Have people
been talking about it?
Yeah, no, it's brand new. I haven't heard anything about it for months and months and months and months on end. But I think it's like, if it had gone with that vision, he made it pretty clear that he wanted to have all of these things that were going to be tied to it and that it was setting up for a bigger universe.
Yes.
And I feel like this probably would have been a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping that we get it in some incarnation. I don't think we'll ever get a Snyder
A Snyder Cyborg movie with Ray Fisher is something that I would love to see, just because the place we would have to get in order to get there would be like, what just happened? But, you know, maybe pigs can fly one day.
It's another example.
Maybe we're just fishering for...
Sorry. I was trying to think of one, and it was killing me.
I was more Fisher, you know. What about, it would be a ray of light?
Ray of light is a good one, yeah. Yeah. Little ray of sunshine shining in on our dark universe.
This is another example, just no matter what people say about Zack Snyder, and a lot of people are not big fans of his movies, and some people are ultra fans of his movies, the fact is, it seems like everyone who's ever worked with him really loves the dude. And, like, no matter what, like, it's not like you hear about, some Michael Bay stuff where they're, like, he was like, I think T.J. Miller called him an emotional terrorist on my podcast.
It's a nice thing. It's a sweet thing to say.
Whereas Zack Snyder, it feels like no matter what happens, even if a movie does poorly, everyone's kind of like, yeah, but we love Zack. Like, wouldn't it be great? Like,
not everyone. Some people. You know?
I'm just saying the people that work with him. He's obviously a nice dude.
Yes. I get that sense too. And I believe it was Adam who met him and said that he was such a doll.
I met him at WonderCon one year in the bathroom, which was interesting. He was singing a Hilary Duff song while he was the urinal. I don't remember. I just remember it because when I said hi to him after, he's all, oh, did you hear my Hilary Duff rendition in there? And I was like, I did.
That's nice. Did this come across your guys' screen at any point? Because this was the story of the week that just kept on popping up for me. You know how the computer hears you and they know what you like, and then they send you things that they think you'll love? This was
Superman and Jules.
Yeah, this was 100% what happened here. It just kept
being
like...
It's because you're the crown jewel of DC movie news. If there's any Jewel references, you're going to get them.
Over and over again, it was like, kryptonite is real. And so finally, after 15 times of me seeing this, I was like, but is it? Like, what is it really? Like, largest kryptonite ever found. And I was just like, what does this mean, Basil?
It means Wizard of Oz, Emerald City.
So
it's all
lies. If you guys are interested in science at all or anything of that sort, the largest emerald looks just like kryptonite. It was found, and it is super green, as an emerald is, and super aggressive and glowy and fabulous, and I need it in my life.
But I'm like, it only glows because there's light behind it, guys. Like,
whatever, Elena.
They didn't find a radioactive emerald that they're like, no, this is fine.
You don't know that.
The thing is happening in Antarctica right now. Scientists are stabbing each other over books. It's it's happening.
It is 5,655 carats. I know nothing about anything, but a lot of my friends are married, and I know that that's a lot of carrots. So that's about the extent of my knowledge. And this thing looks
keeps
huge.
Bugs Bunny fed forever kind of carrots.
Yep. You think you could wear it around your neck without falling over?
No, I think that would snap your neck and be the most glorious way to go.
Worth it. Death by kryptonite.
Yeah!
What do we do? How do we do it?
I don't know if it's worth it. I don't think that's worth it.
Like, you would have to follow me there. Be like, it's not worth it, Roxy.
Don't, Roxy. And like, don't let her wear it.
I want to so, so bad.
We put it in your crown of the crown. The crown jewel. And we're like.
And that's how she went out. Yeah. Sorry.
She went out doing what she loves.
So worth it.
Harnessing kryptonite.
Don't worry, guys. We obviously will do it live on air so you can catch it. The Joker's somebody we've talked about a lot in the last few weeks. And this was an interesting thing that popped up. I think it was Reddit. As most things like this are, somebody was comparing the original concept art for TDK for not necessarily the Joker, but more for the bank robbery scene in those masks, and looking at that original concept art with Joaquin Phoenix Joker and how similar those designs seem to be.
But this is the thing to me, is I'm like, yes, it looks like clown makeup. That also looks like clown makeup. And it's like, wow, I wonder if he was inspired by every other clown that has ever existed. Yeah. They're not like, it doesn't have the dots. It doesn't have, like, I mean, it's similar and could potentially be some sort of inspiration at some point, but anybody who's like, look at them just ripping off this other thing, it's like,
I'm enjoying this though. See, I like this idea of like, it could be or it couldn't be. But you're right. There are some people who are so on one side of this. Like, this is something that you really have to argue about.
Yeah.
Like, there are people who are like, obviously it's not. That's just clown makeup.
People are like, you guys, I know, are for stupid. Like, no, you're stupid. I know it is.
It's like, look at this ripoff.
It's the ripoff thing is what pisses me off. And yeah. I'm like, did he rip off Ronald McDonald? Did he rip? Like, I mean, I'm like, come on, man. That's the Hamburglar. The Hamburglar is the only one who is
allowed to rip off.
Don't rip
off Ronald McDonald. He'll come after you.
I don't know if I'd mind that. It'd be kind of funny.
He loves to see you smile.
So I only
can you
reason
imagine,
the only
like,
reason
Joker
pulled
goes
it
into
up,
McDonald's. I want
you know
that
how
scene.
I got this smile.
He's like
a happy meal. I just think it's kind of cool when people do look at like even if this wasn't something that they were doing consciously, maybe they'd seen the concept art, maybe it played, if whatever. It's just kind
of
nice.
Well, the death of Superman Lives, what happened? They showed all that concept art, and a lot of it ended up getting used in Man of Steel. Yeah. A lot of it ended up getting used in even Superman Returns. Like, they go back through these archives, and they look, they're like, what looks cool? Like, what's something
you
could build
something off of? I love a good John Schnepp reference, by the way. Oh, we do a bunch of them on this
Schnepp
show.
Lives.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Let's move over to one of my favorite times. You guys know where I'm going with this.
Oh, shoot. Oh, shoot.
Is
oh,
it
shoot.
Time?
Oh, shoot.
Is it time? What time is it?
It's time for Backstreet Strivers TV time.
That's me.
It's her.
He is definitely fine. So it yes. is. Oh, my God. I have so many sausages in my fridge right now.
What? Give me some.
You weren't here. Adam came in and unloaded all of his sausage on me. And it was just glorious.
I was not invited to the sausage party.
No, you weren't. But I will say, Johnny was also a part of the sausage party.
How could not be?
How does that make me feel better? I'm just more excluded.
I'm getting there because Johnny left his sausages in my possession, and now I have both of our sausages, and he has unclaimed his sausages that are in my freezer, and I think they have Elena Bring the Pain Out written on them now.
I think to celebrate Johnny's upcoming best day of his life, his comedy special that I cannot wait for.
November 11th.
Everybody check it out. Gonna be awesome. Let's celebrate by burgling his sausages.
Let's definitely celebrate in that way, but a little bit more of a classy way to celebrate for you DC fans out there. You definitely want to check out the latest live action series, Titans, which of course is available now on DC Universe. I know I've checked it out, you guys have checked it out, and it's definitely worth investing in. The series premiered on October 12th. New episodes are available to stream every Friday, or like me, you wait up real late on Thursday night and give yourself an excuse to stay up and watch something.
Because you need an excuse.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Titans was the first original series to launch on DC Universe, and first is the best, so you guys always want to make sure you're on that train early. It follows a group of young, soon-to-be superheroes, including some of your favorites, Dick Grayson, Rachel Roth, a.k.a. Raven, Corey Anders, Starfire, Gar Logan, which is Beast Boy. He might even be my favorite right now.
I love
Beast
Boy.
I go back and forth. They're all Starfire's so good. They're all great, honestly, but Beast Boy, he does have my heart, I will say. The group gets caught up in a conspiracy to bring about Hell on Earth, which we know is Elena's favorite.
Hell on Earth!
They become a surrogate family and team of heroes, and it's a gritty take on the Teen Titans franchise, which we all know and love, but if you want something a little bit more mature, this is definitely for you. It's from executive producers Akiva Goldsman, Jeff Johns, Greg Berlanti, Greg Walker, Sarah Schechter, John Fawcett. So, you know, just a team of very heavy hitters right there. You want those people working on your show. Titans explores one of the most popular comic book teams ever. I definitely think that's true, if not the most popular.
Probably,
and it's available only on DC Universe. So if you want to see Titans, you have to go to DCUniverse.com in order to do that. It's on all of your favorite devices, so whatever you got, don't worry about it. You'll be able to get it there. And it's only $7.99 a month. Or if you want 20% off of that, just get the yearly membership. Let's be honest, we all do that thing where we go month to month because we're like, I don't know, you're gonna get this for a year. You're just gonna. So get the 20% off now so that you save yourself some money and join the Ultimate DC Membership at DCUniverse.com. That is DCUniverse.com, which brings us into our TV time.
Yeah.
Let's just talk a little Titans right now. So, Doom Patrol episode. If anything, I will say, I won't give spoilers. I am so excited for the Doom Patrol series. I need that to come, very quickly into my life. Elastigirl, blew my mind in this episode. She was so creepy and cool. It was pretty, pretty wild. So definitely it changed my opinion on like where the show was willing to go, because it introduced an entire new group of people so quickly.
I think the show has just gotten, it's kind of building on its stride. It's getting better and better.
Yeah.
And if this is how they're going to launch other potential series as well, like, they're doing a really good job, to be honest. And, you know, that was something that in the beginning with the WB series, we thought the same thing. Like, oh, wow, they're really doing a good job of introducing these other series. And then they came on, and we all loved them, and blah, blah, blah. So to see that this looks like it's going to follow the same kind of track record is really exciting, and it really makes sure that you get that DC Universe subscription.
I'm kind of pushing for, after seeing Hawk and Dove, I kind of want a Hawk and Dove show.
I so want a Hawk and Dove show. I'm not even kidding. Like, I'm so into it.
I know. It's like kind of becoming my new how Adam is with Swamp Thing. That's how I feel. I'm like, but what about Hawk and Dove? What do you think about Hawk? Because I love Minka Kelly, too. I'm such a Friday Night Lights fan. We also had new episodes of all of our CW shows this week, because we are back in full-blown fall TV, even though it's almost winter. What season are we in right now?
We're technically fall. It's still fall. Okay, November is fall.
California, we're
still in fall.
So everyone else is summer.
Yeah. We had Flash, Arrow, Legend of Tomorrow, Supergirl, Black Lightning, all of them on this week. And I will say, I'm very proud of myself. I'm caught up. I did the whole thing. And it's taken a lot.
That's why it's called Roxy Stryer's TV Time.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what you guys have watched. Also, chime in if there's...
I think this is... Has there been another season where all the shows have started off this strongly all together?
I agree. I agree. This has been a really strong premiere couple of weeks.
All the new villains? I'm into all of it?
Hey, did you check out Legends of Tomorrow with the Fairy Godmother episode yet?
Not yet.
Is it good?
It's so weird. It's so weird again.
That's why I love Legends of Tomorrow, because they could do stuff like that.
Oh, and you can tune in. This is the number one that I recommend to anybody who is not a fan of DC. Not because you're not a fan, but just because you haven't watched all the other shows. Mm-hmm. You can pick up Legends at any time and be like, this is amazing. Because it's so wild. And now they're with Constantine on the show. It's just like next level. So anyway, check out all of those shows, as I'm sure a lot of you guys are already doing, to get to a little bit of TV news. All season long, when we've been watching The Flash, I do the show for Only Stupid Answers, where we've been making fun of the fact that we've been calling Jesse L. Martin, Joe West, pregnant. Not because he looks big, but because he's always sitting down. Mm-hmm. And this is what they do when women are pregnant on shows. They always sit you down because they don't want to show the bump. So there's a table in front of you or something. And I'm like, why do they keep having him seated all season? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And who's the biggest bitch in the room now? Because it turns out he's actually taking a leave of absence from the show because he really hurt his back over the hiatus. And he's been trying to push through, but it's just not working. And so, yeah, he's having to take a temporary leave. He's said that he definitely will be coming back. But, you know, it's kind of crazy because he's only 49. Yeah. So this is
back injuries are no joke.
No joke, man.
Yeah. It was what a roller coaster of emotions I had when I read this news, because all I saw was Jesse L. Martin not going to be in The Flash for a while. I was, I was already like, no.
Yeah,
no.
We already build up the opinions.
Who doesn't love Papa Joe moments? Like, that's and then be like, oh, no, it's only temporary because he's only out because he hurt himself. I'm like, yeah, he's only out for a little bit. Oh, no, he got hurt. Oh, like, I just feel like I'm just on this ride that I don't know when it's going to get off, but Joe, I hope he's back soon.
Me too. Me too, but I hope he's not back sooner than he is comfortable coming back.
Yeah, I hope he fixes his back and then comes back.
Back then back.
Yes.
Yeah. I hope Bear Mins he comes back 100%.
Yes.
Is what I'm saying.
Sending him much, much love. And
I feel like we could have done a better pun there. Not sure, though. Another thing,
I hope he's back in a flash. How about that?
That was pretty good. Another thing that is coming back in a little bit, because it's not a flash, is coming back in a darker way, is Gotham, which is returning to us for its final season January 3rd, which just so happens to be the date of my ex-boyfriend's birthday. So just so you guys all know that.
Okay,
the date
good.
I will not forget. Now you all are aware of that.
I always have that date fresh on my mind. So
now
thank
you'll
you.
Know.
So now I'll know that's Gotham.
And when I saw that, I was like, it's so funny what sticks to you. Like that my high school boyfriend's
birthday. But you know how you can remember it?
Somewhere still.
If he was a dirty pig, then you got him Gotham.
What?
You
got it.
You took a long road there, but I'm there.
It works. Now you're going to see it. Now every time you look at Gotham, you're going to think Got Ham. And you're like, ham. Oh, no.
It was so long. It was so long to get there. Just
it wasn't worth
weird.
It.
No,
yeah.
No. Got Ham. Got
you're
Ham.
You're going to think it every
kinda
time,
like Got
though.
Milk. Maybe we should do a Got Ham commercial and put ham on... On your
I don't
upper
think
lip.
We should.
You should put ham on your upper lip, and then we should do January 3rd and see if anybody understands. That's so good.
Okay, we're doing it.
I took it one step too far.
Somebody
maybe?
Photoshop this and send it to us because yeah. We're not going to actually do that, but we
everybody,
want it.
Hold on. We're going to take a second to pose to the wide, and then they're going to put ham. Ready?
Put ham on it. You ready?
Yeah, screenshot that and ham.
Still cheaper than the mustache removal.
Yeah, oh, that's for sure.
Yeah, ham stash.
There you go. Then you have the Joker crossover. Then you have the Hamburglar. And then you have Ronald McDonald.
Yes, it all ties in.
Let's talk about another look that has some people questioning things, which is the monitor. We have what they're calling the first look, although we mm-hmm. saw a look already prior to this, yeah. But that's fine. I don't understand why people get to just say first look over and over again.
Yeah, I'm like, you can't have the first look if we've already seen it. That intrinsically is not, yeah.
But really, but man, like, anytime you look at something, don't you just see it with new eyes
look?
Anyway?
The first time. It's not a hill that I'm willing to die on, so I'm just going to let it go.
Yeah.
I actually think the monitor looks pretty cool. I know some people don't think that the monitor looks so cool. Where do you guys lie?
I think it looks good. I would also say that, you know, pictures are different than motion. If you're not into it now, you might be when it's on TV.
Picture speaks 1,000 words, then video speaks how many?
Well, I can't do that kind of math.
Oh.
It depends on the frame rate, if it's 24 frames per second, or it's... Sorry.
Wait. Frames?
Another
depends on what kind of monitor you're looking at.
Another picture for us to check out, but I'm again
high resolution monitor.
It. Melissa Benoist, our very own Supergirl, is so amped on Ruby Rose's Batwoman that she actually posted this kind of adorable picture
She's
on Instagram.
Cutest.
I love when people post pictures of their eyes closed. It's so funny. It's like because you know there was 5,000 different pictures she could have posted, and mm-hmm. this one was just like the most excited looking because she's like a little girl. Just
and I just
amped
love
up.
Like Ruby Rose with like her like serious in character Batwoman. Then she's like, "I'm Supergirl and I'm so excited because Batwoman's here."
That kind of fits their both their personalities really well.
I will say Melissa Benoist kind of reps. As hard as Stephen Amell does. Mm-hmm. Those two, like, rep the universe so well. I'm not saying Grant Gustin doesn't, but I don't see him posting as many things as these two do to rep the CW universe.
I think since he got kind of trolled online by people because of the suit skinny look, thing? I think he kind of got a little annoyed.
I agree. I would, too. Yeah. I would, too. It is
and
really
I mean, we've
annoying.
Seen so many, like, the Star Wars actors and everybody just getting off of the internet completely because of it. I feel like, if you get negative feedback.
Go play Starfire.
Yeah.
What
Which
happened
also,
then?
Everybody,
she left
we've talked
media
about
too,
this.
Also.
Yeah, it was on here that she left because the, you know, the picture that somebody took that they were like, look at that janky wig and look at that outfit. It looks so bad.
That.
And so she just
I
got
love
off Twitter.
Her.
Hey,
and
can we not be dicks, people?
Yeah. And on top of that, like,
no,
on top of that, like,
no.
That's not even the. Shut up. Yeah. I get so mad.
Let's off topic. Melissa Benoist really looks like Emilia Clarke in that photo.
Yeah, kind of. kind of.
Let's you know what would be so cute for Halloween if they were Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy? Like, when I see them is I'm like, they'd be so cute because that's even in that picture. Like, you just see that expression on both of them.
That would be really cool, actually. I'm into that. Going back to Titans for a second, I saw this article on comic book. On CBR.com, and it's Jeff Johns explaining why Titans is this ultimate fan-driven show, but one of the little gems in there was the fact that they almost weren't able to have Dick Grayson on the show because, as we have seen many, many times on the CW shows, the movie – he didn't specifically say this, but the movies get to pick which people that the shows are allowed to have, Deadshot, Deadpool, et cetera, Amanda Waller. Who just died very, very abruptly on Arrow.
Yeah.
Goodbye,
like,
girl.
No.
So it happens all
you
the
hit
time.
A wall or-
and one of them was one of them was Dick Grayson. For the amount of times I've said Dick Grayson so far, you haven't made any puns about Dick. So
I mean, you know, we've already covered the sausage on this episode.
That's
we'll
true.
Leave it.
That's true. So I think that they're very, very lucky that they were able to have Dick Grayson, only because I don't know how the show works without him.
Yeah. That makes sense that they waited until they could get him to
what
to
would that look like even?
Oh, that'd be such a strange. It reminds me of there you go. It reminds me of, like, remember the awful old Justice League pilot?
Yeah.
Where they had, like, a whole lot of not Justice League members on it, and it was like, this is the Justice League?
Well, I feel like we would need to almost invent a character. Like, we would have to do a White Canary situation where it was like, this isn't Dick Grayson, it's Rick Mason. And, like...
please pick Rick Mason for Halloween next year.
Is this the end of The Dark Knight Rises? Is that what this is?
Yes. Oh, my God. Your Rick name? Mason is my new favorite girl. Yeah.
But he's like, and I'm also a detective.
I'm not gonna lie, though. When they said Robin, I liked it.
I did.
I was into it.
I was a fan.
Yeah, picking which actors are which is, you know, sometimes it's black and white, and sometimes it's gray, son.
Oh.
I knew you were going to do a joke because you make this face before you're
about to. All the excitement in me is palpable.
Sometimes it's black canary, sometimes it's white canary, sometimes it's gray, son. Expand.
Ooh, expand.
Gosh. I'm sorry, Ron.
our last bit of news for the day before I get us out of here so that the puns don't bleed us anymore. Louis Tan, this was news, and my only news is that this is not news. So Louis Tan was being rumored that, because on Titans, a little bit of a spoiler, we did see Bruce Wayne's back. And people were talking about the fact that we're going to end up seeing him and that Louis Tan had been cast as Bruce Wayne based on the fact that months ago he had gone to DC Entertainment and was holding a comic book outside of the DC sign and said something about his dad and Full Circle and et cetera, et cetera. So then there were rumors that he was cast as Bruce Wayne on Titans, and then those rumors were debunked. So there is no news. The news is that there's no news, and no news is fine news.
So basically they got some flack for the back.
How long have you been prepping that one?
Since you started talking about it. But I will say, any excuse to look at Louis Tan and he's that arm, so though? Hot. Like, jeez. Also,
I almost put a shirtless one up there.
Oh, I would not have fought you on that. But I will say, one of my favorite moments ever at any convention I've ever been at, the Amazing Comic-Con in Las Vegas, Louis Tan was a guest. And we were playing Mario Kart with all the little kids and just did, like, a play-along. And he was like, this looks fun. Just ran on stage and played Mario Kart with all of the kids. And they're like, use the parachute, use the parachute. And he was like, no, did you not see what happens? And I just thought that was the coolest moment ever. That I was like,
that is great. That was great. Side note, Ivan Soto in the chat says, White Canary is from the comics, Roxy. Very small character, but from the comics either way. I don't remember White Canary ever being in the comics. Canary. Which comic are you talking about? I don't even think that White Canary has had... I think since White Canary was on the show, White Canary has been featured a couple of times, but definitely not
but
even
her
own
Black
title.
Black Canary, that was like the but, one that yeah. I read growing up.
I don't remember like, White Canary, but you could be right, Ivan, obviously.
I wouldn't be surprised. There's so many characters that they throw in
yeah,
there.
Just let us know in the chat,
I mean,
in the comments.
Yeah, if they can have like Porky Pig trying to kill Batman in a comic, then it's like, you know, they could have anything at any point. That did happen, by the way.
We also saw Batman's penis. Victory for all.
Yes. So two different comics about sausage.
And that was our, that's our talk about
Pig,
Dick.
Right?
That's our talk about Dick. I'm getting the...
That dick was Grayson. Yeah. That dick was Grayson.
Batmanthony in the booth is giving me the wrap it up, so we've got to get out of here. But before we do, I want to make sure that you guys know, I know Elena mentioned it before, but we want to talk a little bit about Johnny LaQuasto, who is filming his comedy special November 11th, which is coming up real soon at the La Brea Improv, and tickets are free, which is our favorite word. There are two shows. I believe they're at 7 and 9 at night. I will be attending one of them, hopefully. Maybe you guys will be there,
I'll be
too.
There.
You know,
I'm
going
to try to fly out.
Wow, that'd be amazing.
Yes.
Because we got to support our guy. He is deeming this the biggest night of his life. So when anybody says that.
And if you've heard his album, he's so damn funny.
I wonder if he's going to sell it there, because I have it.
He
it's
needs
so good,
to, because it's so good.
It's so good. It is really amazing.
It has
amazing.
Got me through many a flight.
And Mike Kalinowski is somewhere at Mike Kalinowski. I don't know what he's doing.
Saving
he's
the world
prepping.
Is Batman.
It's almost Christmas time.
And Adam Gertler is at Adam Gertler, and he's also doing something.
Making food, probably the ninja foodie.
Something sausagey. I don't remember exactly what. Elena, where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at that Elena Jordan girl, and also hosting different shows on some of our sister networks too, AfterBuzz TV, some stuff on here. And then also the amazing Comic-Con in Hawaii is selling tickets right now for the February show. So
what sounds better than February Hawaii with Elena? I want that.
Celebrate Valentine's.
Yeah. Paul, I know that you've got stuff coming up that you can't talk about right now, but they can find you to talk about it on your social.
Yes, Twitter, at the Paul Ponte. I don't know who this other Paul Ponte guy is, but it's certainly not me.
You're kind of hard to find on there. Type in Paul Ponte, and the doesn't come up. I have to type in.
It's complicated.
So there's a Paul Ponte, but not the
Paul Ponte, obviously. Also on Instagram, ponte.paul. Look me up on there because I post, I'm somewhat of a photographer. Not really good, but that you can be the judge of that. So yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Batman Anthony in the booth, who I believe is at Tony B. Tony. Yeah, I'm thinking that's right, or he would have corrected me. I'm at Roxy Stryer, so follow me there. Until next week, same time.
And your Patreon. I'm going to plug it. I'm going to plug it because you guys need to get Patreon it.
It's the top. Ooh, good one. It's the top of the month. Patreon.com/Roxy Stryer, where I do bedroom reviews. So I talk about all the movies that I'm screening, and then I give you guys the real information on them. And also, I do this series called Smoke Tree Explain TV, where I get super duper baked and try to explain episodes of TV, which I sometimes fail at. But the more I fail, the more fun we're actually having. So check that out. Thanks for the plug, girl. I appreciate it. It's so weird to plug your own stuff sometimes, isn't it?
I'll shout you out. It's worth it.
Anyway, next time, see you guys. Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.